3, 2, 1,
clap.
Welcome back to the Brand
what
Archetypes
if your
Podcast,
personal
everyone.
Or business brand was I'm so Kevin Skirret, focused and so on target that it was
Amy
easy
Zander
for everyone in your organization to
podcast.
Understand?
How
what if you
Amy?
Connected with
I'm
your
great.
Clients on an
excited
emotional
to
level
about
so
about
deeply
how to
that they never
your
forgot
brand
you?
And everything you
this
do.
Is what the most successful
yeah,
brands
corporate
in the world
culture
do.
Concept.
It's not about
it's
ad budgets.
So,
it's about developing
this is
a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company.
Where we talked about
discover
the,
your brand
who,
and create
what,
an amazing,
when,
foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Skirret and Amy Zander. Owners of BrandArchetypes.com, join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Get things implemented into your corporate culture. It's kind of the nitty-gritty of the topic, so it's going to be a fun one. So let's get started. So I would say that probably 90% of the companies that I have helped with this process, they have one or more employees, you know, probably 70 or 80% are micro and small businesses. The solopreneurs don't need the training. But anyone with employees, where the employees may or may not have been involved in the process, you're still going to want to have training for those who did not participate, right? It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be, you know, a four-hour-long session, and you don't need to have it be super, super formal. But you definitely need to have it formal enough that you can repeat it for new employees. So the training, when we talk about what you're going to train or how you're going to train it, that's usually a task that most people who aren't professional trainers are like, oh, well, you know, okay, what do I do? Well, let's just give a short list of some of the things that you need to talk about. And like you've said, Amy, especially in our last broadcast, one of the benefits of archetypes is the concepts are so easy to understand. We understand these because we're human beings. This training is actually super, super easy. So, for example, if I were to try to teach a group of 10 employees the nuances of my brand new 80-page brand strategy guideline, yeah, that's going to be a really long, very painful, boring session because these people aren't brand strategists and they're not going to get all of the, you know, market analysis and, you know, all that stuff. But if I'm trying to teach archetypes, that's super easy. Let's say, for example, a company has made the decision to be the mother archetype. How difficult is it to teach your employees the concept of mother?
it takes about 10 seconds.
Yeah, or less sometimes. Right. Yeah. Okay, so the archetype idea is the first thing that you teach. Why are you doing it? You know, teach them that you're trying to do it for consistency's sake and uniform response and building up the power based on this emotional connection. And that it's everybody's job to look out for those touch points, those opportunities where the company is portraying and interacting and interfacing with people, real life people, where they need to elicit this emotional response. You have to train them on what their expectations are. You know, just because Sally Sue's like bringing up brand mistakes left and right all day long, you know, Joe in sales, he's like, ah, Sally Sue's got this. You know, I don't need to do any of that anymore. Yeah, the expectations are that everybody needs to be keeping an eye out for brand. You know, how you'll be rolling it out, you know, what's going to be happening over the course of the next week or 2 weeks or a month. What's the final expectation of them, of each of them? And probably the most important thing are the do's and the don'ts. You know, if you're trying to be a mother archetype, the sales guys might be really super, super energetic, and that's okay, but they also need to be conveying that the company is about high-touch customer service and that they care and that there's this process underlying everything that they're doing, despite the fact that they're energetic. That it's very motherly, right? So depending on your archetype, you have to do all of those things in the form of training so that people understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Got it?
Yep.
So getting your team involved is in this process to identify brand mistakes is super, 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 super important. And let's talk about how we might do that.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, Kevin, but I'm usually motivated really well by like rewards and
money.
Incentives. Sure. Money. Cookies.
Lottery tickets. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it is, you can make a game out of it. You can make a little contest out of it, things like that. But if you just, there's lots of really cool, innovative ways to do this. But the point is just.
Oh,
to
you were serious that we're going to get free lottery tickets and money and.
Yeah, whatever your budget is for. Yeah, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
motivation. Got it.
Yeah, okay. Motivation. Yeah. So when if an employee does find a brand issue, they can have a contest or in whatever the reward is for that is up to you and your brand and your culture, right?
Well, hold on. Let's say a company is just starting this out, there may be hundreds, at least hundreds, and possibly thousands of brand mistakes. If the company now starts to have to give out a $5, $10 prize to every, that's going to get really expensive, isn't it?
It is. And you don't always have to have like a monetary, individual monetary or whatever. It just depends on what you want to do. But you could have things like keeping a tally, making it fun, having reward at the end of the week with when I was a kid, it's like if the whole class behaved and nobody got sent to the principal's office, we got like a pizza party on Friday or something. I mean, whatever yeah. you think is going to motivate your...
And I was asking that tongue in cheek. The real answer is, let's say it's, a 500 brand mistakes are found in the first 2 months and it costs $10 each, costs $5,000. The result of having an awesome brand at the end of 2 months will definitely be made up for by increased sales, increased connections, stronger reinforcement of customer relationships because you have a great brand, how fast you are able to market yourself because of the effectiveness of your marketing. Most companies who are in real business with real employees, $5,000 is nothing to them. A smaller micro business might have to, they might pucker a little bit at the thought of spending $5,000. But $5,000 for a medium or large company should be absolutely nothing. And the benefits are enormous. So yeah, I was kind of joking by saying $5,000 seems like a lot of money.
Right.
And you will have people, think that. And for our listeners, it does sound like a lot of money to motivate people to do what you're expecting of them, but that's a slam dunk. You're going to get that money back in no time.
Right. And some of your prizes or things like that can be brand related. I mean, you can make up t-shirts that have something to do with your brand or other office implementation things, pens and things like that, that are also just reinforcing your brand. So you can double dip in that for sure.
Brand evangelist of the month getting a free parking spot up right up front of the building.
Right. There you go.
How about that? Yeah. There's the ideas, the list of ideas is really endless.
The whole point though is just to incentivize and make it fun and creative and in ways that keep the brand at the top of everybody's mind. Right.
That's right.
Until it becomes that habit and that flow, like we talked about in the previous podcast. So it takes a while to create any sort of habit, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So what are some of the things that we can do to help just keep employees reminded on a daily basis of what we're doing?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would say you're right that up front, you're going to have to remind people more often. And it's best if you implement kind of a process. So let's say a new company, they've picked their archetype, they've identified who their brand manager is. They kind of have an idea of who's going to be kind of evangelizing this stuff. You've trained your employees. Well, next is building in the reminders for everybody to remember what is it that we're trying to do here. So hanging up posters in the walls, in the break room. Remember that the conversation I had where we're talking about the company with the color of the conference room, and it was the president's wife who had just redecorated. it was a combination. Their archetype was a combination of the hero and the neighbor and the lover. and they created a focus of the gladiator, you know, Russell Crowe's character in the movie The Gladiator.
Yeah.
Powerful. Yeah, it was really powerful stuff, you know, huge emphasis on the hero, but also an average guy who had to, you know, go to battle when he really didn't want to and is just passionate about the concepts of right and wrong. Well, this gladiator concept, the president of the company went out and actually had a steel helm made, you know, a gladiator's helm, and had it displayed right in the middle of the conference room table, which was used by everybody. It was combination break room, conference room, meeting room, and so people saw it all the time. So that's the one kind of really super unusual example that I've seen for the constant in your face reminders. I had another company. I don't know if you've ever seen the company Big Head.
Yeah,
and I think it's bighead.com. You know, life-size posters of, you know, athletes and, you know,
famous people and
fitness people. Yeah,
yourself. I think you can get them made of yourself. Yeah,
that's right. Right. Well, they have a whole line of kind of generic people where, you know, you can have captions put over, have these people standing around, or have celebrities standing around with captions reminding people about their brand. You know, it makes it kind of fun too. This process of reminding people is the more creative you are, the better off you are. When you remind people is just as important. So let's say you just launched it, you're rolling this out. If you think about how much of a habit this is for people, in the first day or 2 days or 3 days, the answer is zero. It's not a habit at all. You have to remind them constantly. If it requires you to say, hey, what have you done in the last hour that's brand related, and you have to ask everybody in the company that, you're now going to, at once an hour, get them to stop and think, what did I do in the last hour? How did I interface with people? Or what did I do that will eventually be seen or interacted with by other people outside the company that will be a touch point? If you get those people to be thinking about that once an hour in the first day or two, you'll find that a week later, you don't need to ask as often. They'll have already started naturally doing it. But it does require that much emphasis up front because you are trying to change a habit. Once you change a habit, it's almost impossible to break it. But getting someone to change their habits up front is very, very hard, and it requires very focused attention. So if you have to do a daily reminder and get that to be spread out through your departments somehow, some way, yeah, that effort is definitely worth it. The more emphasis you put up front, the better off you'll be in the long run. The easier it's going to be in the shorter time frame you'll have of trying to reinforce all these ideas, right?
Sounds good. So once you get your people in the habit and you're reminding them, you have to tackle some of the bigger things like your standard operating procedures, update your design process. That includes things like, you know, looking over your logo and updating things like that. Updating your content creation process. That's sometimes where, you know, I step in and help with a lot with that because I'm a lot on the content end of things. But that's looking at what you already have out there and how you can bring it into alignment. Again, our word banks really help with that. But let you know, usually I start with people's website copy and we look at what their website's doing and how can we make this sound more like your archetype. And we start looking at all your content stuff. And then the other thing is you have a final review process for all things creative or content or things like that. And we have to start adding in a step in your final review process for all things that includes a brand review, right? So Kevin, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. What you're saying though is you don't create anything that is seen by other people without this review process.
That correct. Has to, yeah.
Yeah. So for agencies that might be listening, let's say you're interested in brand and you're listening to us right now because you're interested in brand, not that you're a company trying to integrate it, but you do this as part of your job and you're finding this a different approach, a different tactic. After doing this agency thing for 23 years and the brand archetype thing for 14 years, I can definitely tell you this will dramatically change how you interface with your customers. As soon as we started incorporating archetypes into what we did as an agency, very, very quickly, the creative people, the copywriters and the designers especially, the very first question out of their mouth with a new client, what's their archetype? Because designing for a hero versus designing for an innocent is so dramatically different that they require that information up front. And it was very, very, very early in the process, like within just a week or two, they saw the benefit of it and asked every single time. But Amy, what you said is there's this kind of creative review process, the design process that needs to change. Well, if you're not an agency, you still are designing content. You're designing web pages. You're designing marketing product brochures and flyers and trade show booths. And you know, it doesn't matter how you're marketing yourself. Those are all creative processes. And whether you're outsourcing them or whether you are doing it in-house doesn't really matter. The creative process definitely needs to be evaluated and make sure that you are incorporating the review of the brand as part of your process. Right. So our goal, that's, you know, go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I was thinking about this is that, you know, oftentimes what happens is we walk a company through this process. They accept or adopt a brand archetype or whatever, and they go through all this, what we're talking about. But then they get to the point where they want to outsource some of their marketing. They want to hire a company to do some blogging or to create some images or things like that. And I think sometimes it can be difficult at first to find another agency that says that knows what brand archetypes are or can get on board with it or do it really, really effectively. And I've had some companies that, you know, have gone through that pain, like, hey, well, we did this great thing and we're the hero archetype, but now like we're trying to find somebody who can help us with that. And the beauty of that is that when you find an agency that you like and they produce really, really good work, even if they're not doing the archetype already, like we are, they can learn it really quickly, just like your employees can learn it really quickly and things like that. And so there can be a learning curve there a little bit. But I mean, you know, Kevin and I's goal is like world domination on this archetype stuff, right? Like the more people we feel, the more people that do this, the better everybody's branding is going to be. But it shouldn't limit you working with an agency if they're not already doing it, because I think they can figure it out pretty quickly. Does that make sense? Was I clear about that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'll take it even a step further, because we've already talked about revamping our identity in our style guide. But in that, right before the section where you're talking about all the details of identity and how you implement your brand in your style guide, we always include a page about archetypes right up front. It's usually in the first two or three or four pages of the style guide. And the whole point of it is, let's say you hire a new design company to create a sign for the front of your building. You know, a signage company is not someone who you hire frequently, like a graphic designer or a web designer, someone like that, who you're probably interfacing with all the time, right? But it doesn't matter who we're talking about. If they're doing creative work for you and you hand them the style guide, which you should do every time anyway, because that tells them all the details, all the specifics of that design stuff. Well, if the first couple of pages, it talks about archetype, and in a one-page description, it says we're the hero or we're the mother or, you know, what have you. Let's say we're going to be a mother archetype. And you let them know in advance, when you deliver something to us, we're going to ask the question, is this mother enough? If you know that we're going to ask this question, ask it of yourself first before you deliver it to us. Because if it exudes mother before you send it to us, then you're probably going to get a lot of stuff that's approved right out of the chute. Where if you don't ask that question of yourself and you deliver something to us that's very heroic and we're looking for mother, well, we're probably going to balk, push it back to you and tell you to redo it. So that one pager inside the style guide is how I would address that.
That's a really good point. So you started to talk about the goal of all this.
Our final goal of all of this is to get all of our employees to live and breathe and ooze our, and I say that with a very gestury smile on my face, ooze the brand strategy from every pore of their being without thinking about it, that they become mother archetype employees. And if they have to, if they change employers, they go work for someone else, and they keep doing that. Great, that's all the better for the other company, because they're probably not a mother archetype. But while they're working for you, your goal is to get your employees to do this stuff without thinking. At first, you're going to need to reinforce things, you know, like we said, a couple of times a day. After just a few days, it might only be once a day. After a week, you know, it might only be every couple of days. You will be able to back off. But don't think that once you back off, you never have to do it again. You do need to step in and reinforce. Once you fully have this integrated into your corporate culture and people are living it and breathing it, it's like kind of like, you know, safety. Everybody understands safety to some degree. But statistically, if you do safety training inside of a company, statistically, and this is, you know, insurance actuarial tables will show this, those companies have fewer accidents and fewer injuries. Well, it's the same thing here. If you have periodic brand training, you're going to have fewer brand mistakes. And great brands do this. Great brand, they have whole brand departments and, you know, brand evangelists in every division. You know, so the big companies, big brands, they spend a lot of time and money and energy into it because it's worth it to them. They recognize the monetary benefit. So our goal is to get everybody to do it, right? So once you get this process in place, just kind of queue up when and how you're going to do that. And you're going to know when your employees get there, right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that can really help too is connecting with other brands that are a similar archetype to yours, either the exact archetype to yours or doing things that are very similar to you. And it doesn't have to be in the same marketplace or industry as you, just people that, you know, brands that are really killing it. If you follow them, watch what they're doing, get ideas from them and things like that, that can also be a big way of reinforcing what you're doing. And a very easy way to do that is if you visit brandarchetypes.com, we have a page dedicated to each archetype. And within those pages, there are examples of other companies that you know and love that are doing things for that archetype. So that's a really cool way to check that out. And I think, too, once you really start getting into this whole archetype thing, you see it everywhere. Right. Yep. You can't unsee it anymore. I mean, I even like meet actual people and I'm like, oh.
Ooh, hero.
You're that archetype, yeah, right? You know,
right. Yeah, right.
So it's really cool, and I mean, we live and breathe this every day. So of course, we see it a lot, but that happens to everybody else too. Usually, when they get into this process, it's kind of funny.
I'll take this one a step up as well. The idea of teaching the new company who's just dipping their toe into the deep end of brand archetypes. And you tell them, start following other people who are your archetype. Yeah, you can go to brandarchetypes.com and find out, you know, a half dozen large companies who have successfully implemented their brand strategy with what appears to be an archetype approach, and they're doing it very well. But I would go so far as to say, find people that are not big companies, and you can find them worldwide. The worst mistake I think that people make without thinking about this process until they get introduced to this process is they will follow their competitors. Well, my competitors are doing this. Well, my competitors are doing that. Well, I see my competitors are really succeeding by this kind of campaign or that kind of messaging. Well, if you're following your competitors and your competitors are following your competitors and they're following each other, well, everybody ends up doing the same thing, which is how you get crazy, wild, donkey riding salespeople on the parking lot of a used car sales lot, right? or you get lawyers who are all about experience and knowledge and wisdom, right? Because they're all doing the same thing. So it's way better to seek out and find awesome brands in it without regard to the industry at all, of any size, of any location, of any, you know, if you could be an international multi-billion-dollar product company and you could be watching a two-person service operation in Alabama that's hyperlocal, and successfully watch them how they're implementing their brand because they're the same archetype, and you can get more ideas from that small company that you can get from your largest competitor who's taking another approach, right? So I think that the whole issue of tracking competition, that a lot of people make mistakes by tracking their competition and the marketing ideas and their messaging and what really is essentially brand, they pay too much attention to their competitors when they really should be looking elsewhere.
Right. And when you do track your competitors, track them to not do what they're doing is what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's exactly important to right. be aware of what they're doing so that you don't do that. Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, don't track it to try to emulate them, because you're just going to, you know, end up Absolutely. Diluting your own brand and making their same mistakes.
Yeah, we have a couple used car salesmen in this town that are always trying to outdo each other. And while it's entertaining to watch, yeah, it's also yeah. can be super annoying.
and painful as a brand strategist. Right. Painful, just yeah. absolutely painful. And I know one of them that you're talking about.
yeah.
So, of course, we have, you know, cumulatively, Amy and I have worked with hundreds and hundreds of companies over the course of the past decade and a half. If you have questions, if you even want to get some assistance with any phase of this process, or want to get help with training development, or any aspect of the brand process, of course, just feel free to reach out to us and we'll be glad to help you out. There are lots of ideas and lots of potential questions that you will encounter in this process, and we want to try to support you as much as we can. So how are we doing, Amy? We're at 26 minutes. So
we're doing good. Yeah. So just contact us through brandarchetypes.com and follow us on all the social at brandarchetypes. And we would love to hear from you.
Awesome. I think we might talk about brand fails. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Brand
that'd be
mistakes.
Fun. yeah.
Yeah. Let's switch something a little less meaty and a little less fluffier, or a little more fluffier. I think that would be fun for next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Amy. Talk to you soon.
Yep, Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.